A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello from Philippa at the QuickBook Reviews podcast. Now more than ever, people are often turning to a book to provide them with a great escape, and I usually get asked, which book should I read next? There are so many to choose from. Well, help is at hand. The QuickBook Reviews podcast does what it says on the tin. It gives you some quick book reviews. You can tell how long it took me to come up with that market-leading title. Well done me. And it covers all sorts of different books you might be interested in. And, hopefully, a happy half hour with me chatting about life, cups of tea, biscuits and books. Lots of books. From crime to thriller to general fiction, audiobooks, even children's books. If I think it's good, I'll want to tell you about it. And if I'm not such a fan, I'll tell you that too. It's not about literature or fine arts. It's just about finding a good read that makes you want to keep turning the pages. Finding books that deliver a great ending. Fancy a listen? Download the QuickBook Reviews podcast and see what you think.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
Dum-dee-dum-dee-dum-dee-dum-dum-dee-dum-dee-dum-dee-dum-dum. Guess what I've spent an hour and 44 minutes doing today?
The excellent Dumpty Dum podcast about the Archers, Ian. How are you, Michael?
I'm very good, thank you. Very good. Been a beautiful day.
Hasn't it just? But God's playing an awful trick on us Brits, isn't he? Because we're all locked down and fundamentally the weather has been gorgeous.
I know. But I'm lucky because I have a garden, so I'm spending a lot of time locked down in my garden.
Where is your garden? Where's home for you?
I'm in southwest London. I'm within hearing distance of the All England Wimbledon. When the tournament's on, I can sit in the back garden and hear the roars. So I know when something exciting's happened and I can nip in and see what it is.
You live in a lovely bit of the world. Obviously, we've spoken before. And you were a total hit on our Dumpty Dum interview that we did. So you're back by popular demand, sir.
Oh.
You know, all of a sudden, Alistair has gone from being the invisible man of Ambridge to the most desirable bachelor. What
it's a full circle. It's a full circle, yeah. Because there was a time long ago when he first came into Ambridge. I remember this. He was described as the most eligible man in Borsetshire. And I thought, this is something I'll take to the grave. then it all sort of changed, didn't it? I'm sure we'll go into that. But it's you know, these cycles happen. It's the nature of soaps, in a way, I think, that characters tend to get used a bit according to what the storylines need. And so characters change quite quickly, as I'm sure everybody knows who listens and watches other soaps. Yes, it's been nice that he's bloomed a little in the last couple of years.
Has resurgence, obviously, before Shula gave you the heave ho, there was word that you must have been told that was going to happen.
probably not.
I mean, you weren't.
What you mean by you were probably told? No, I mean, most of what we hear is when we open the scripts, is when we get the scripts sent to us. Occasionally, that's different. The Jim storyline last year, the three of us, Jim, Jazza, and Alistair, well, the three actors, were taken into Jeremy's office to be briefed in what was going to be coming up. But that's the first time in 22 years that I've had a conversation about storylines before. A formal conversation about storylines. Occasionally, really? Someone on the floor, one of the producers, will sort of say, "Oh well, such and such is in the pipeline." But more often than not, you get a script and there's sort of indications. I didn't know, you know, it was very obvious that the marriage was on the rocks, but I had no idea where it was going. Even as we were doing the scenes with the with, you know, Shula putting a foot, saying, "Right, that's it, you're off," I didn't know what was going to happen next.
But if you generally didn't know what was happening next, I think surely then Michael Lumsden, the actor, must have had a certain amount of trepidation. Did you think, well, you know, you're going to be for the heave-ho?
Yeah, you know, it's a possibility. It's, I mean, it's something we live with. I have seen other actors be written out of The Archers where they didn't really know until, you know, pretty much when the scripts arrived. Occasionally got a phone call a day or two before that. So yes, if you've got a storyline where suddenly there is a clear path which might mean you're leaving, yeah, you think about that. I think without anybody actually telling me what was going to happen next, I think I did get a few sort of little nods and winks that the plan was not for Alistair to leave. But I've also seen incidents where people have been given the plan and then maybe it's ended up taking another route and the plan has ended up being quite different. So yeah, it's you know, you're never quite sure.
And it must be made even more kind of uncertain when you have a different regime, a different kind of script editor, you know, and they're going to have different thoughts and feelings about the whole direction of the whole show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, you know, I feel that's affected Alistair a lot in terms of the attitudes of various editors since Vanessa left, who was obviously there for about the first 15 years or so that I was in the programme. And I mean, the best news for me is that Jeremy, who's running it now, is particularly interested in the character. I mean, if not the character, then he's particularly interested in what that relationship of Jim and Jazza and Alistair brings to the programme, which is lovely. And it's an absolute joy. You know, we have such fun doing all those scenes. And yeah, personally, it's given me a whole kind of new impetus in doing it, because suddenly having all those different energies coming into my life as an actor within the program has just been lovely.
So be honest, right? You know, you were.
I know you're gonna ask me difficult questions, aren't you?
I'm not. This is a very easy one. Obviously, you were Ambridge's forgotten man for years. You know, you were literally like a voice off. You weren't ever quite a silent, but after you had that brush in with gambling, it almost felt like you were silent. And then all of a sudden, you said horse paintings. How does it feel now to be Ambridge's sex symbol?
Oh, dear, 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 if only. The point has yet to come where I feel that. I'm enjoying listening. All I'm enjoying is that he has got a new lease of life and that I'm getting to do some different stuff. There were years and years and years when, you know, a huge amount of what I did in the programme when I was in there was quite similar stuff with Shula, you know, clearly a relationship that wasn't kind of very satisfactory. A lot of scenes that we felt, both of us felt, we were sort of replaying similar scenes over and over again. And it just seemed a shame, really. And now I'm just so excited that that he's kind of having been released from that marriage. The possibilities are completely open. It's great. The Jim and Jazza thing is lovely, but actually, there could, I've no idea what might happen. I don't think anybody has at the moment, because everything's in such turmoil.
Well, no one would wish Shula on anybody. So I'm happy for you, sir, that you're out of that. Let's go back. When I think of the character of Alistair, I think of specifically two big storylines. There was Ewan Gambling, and then the one which resonates with me, which a lot of Archers fans won't even know, was you were quite big on the old Ambridge Extra, and Daniel's girlfriend made a total play for you, didn't she? From an actor's point of view, how did you approach both of those storylines? Let's deal with the gambling first, because everybody that, well, not everybody, because it depends when you started listening to the Archers, but listeners of a certain vintage will remember that, and the fact that it put the whole your whole marriage with Shula in jeopardy. But she did come through for you, didn't she? So remind us of the basics of that storyline, and then maybe tell us, you know, how you portrayed that from an actor's point of view.
Okay. There's a few things that come to mind. My memory, and this is a long time ago, and, you know, it's sort of, I can't guarantee I'm being entirely accurate about this, but my memory is that what drove Alistair to get into gambling and then get hooked on gambling was when David and Ruth decided to take on another vet for their specialist herd. And Alistair was suddenly kind of sidelined from the family and felt that he wasn't valued. And that reminds me, you talked about earlier about how does it feel when you don't know whether you're going to be, is the storyline going to maybe take you out of the program or whatever? I actually, on that occasion, had the experience of walking into the green room. It would have been at Pebble Mill, I guess. And Judy, who plays Shula, introducing me to a man I'd never met before who was sitting in the green room and saying, "Oh, Michael, come and meet Richard, the new vet."
Oh, wow.
That's quite a shock. And of course, you know, I didn't know the storyline. I didn't know where it was going. So, you know, those sort of things are quite tricky. It was lovely. He was a lovely guy. And the storyline actually ended up, you know, with Alistair staying on and all the rest of it. But interesting moments. In terms of the gambling, it was good for me in terms of, you know, having something to hook onto. If I had reservations about that storyline, it would be that, I have a little bit of a history with the horses myself, because at one time in my life I worked for a company doing commentaries, doing horse race commentaries. I have always kind of quite enjoyed going to the races and all that sort of thing. But his gambling was late night sitting in front of a computer, clicking on things, and it was sort of a sad gambling, which is probably better for the story. But in terms of Alistair and character development, it felt like it's quite hard to dramatize sitting in front of a laptop gambling. Mm-hmm. You know, the actual act was not very dramatic. It was, you know, I can remember scenes where Shula would come in and find him sitting at the computer. And we used to say, well, how do we actually let the audience know that this is what you're doing and that maybe you've been doing it for hours? And actually the sound of somebody clicking the return key on a laptop is not all that exciting. So there we go. That was my sadness about that storyline, that it potentially felt like it could have been dramatic in a different way. It was only dramatic in that it created tension in the marriage and all that sort of thing. But the actual, what I was doing, didn't feel very dramatic.
Do you think that your separation, then divorce from Shula, was, you know, with the seeds were planted back then? Because even though she came through for you and said, yes, we're going to remortgage the stables, you know, to pay off your gambling debts, I'm remembering back, there was a time when, you know, things did seem in jeopardy. It wasn't necessarily the case that she's going to, you know, come to your rescue, so to speak. Or do you think this is just something which was more the whim of the new story editor? Anita,
you mentioned that Radio 4 Extra story.
Mm. Yeah.
Both Judy and I found it very, very strange that we did that whole story where Daniel's girlfriend became slightly obsessed with Alistair and followed him around and became and sort of worked for him and then started behave inappropriately and eventually get him to almost behave inappropriately. And the marriage almost broke up then in Radio 4 Extra. Mm-hmm. Alistair,
well, you're right, because she
Shula threw him out.
Yeah.
In that storyline. But that storyline was never referred to in The Archers. There was no, until some years later, when there was a few passing references to it, which I thought was slightly odd because the storyline hadn't happened in The Archers at that time. It hadn't been mentioned in The Archers. So anyone who was a regular Archers listener and didn't listen to Ambridge Extra wouldn't have known what those references were about. And I think in a way that's when the real seeds were planted, even though they did recover from it within that storyline. I think that's when trust kind of completely collapsed between them. And from then on, it may have been repaired, but it was never, I don't think it was ever very solid.
Mm. Okay, so let's go back to the late 90s. What were you doing before you got that call that the Archers needed a new hunk in the village?
I don't remember exactly what I was doing. I was doing quite a lot of radio in Birmingham at the time. I used to do quite a lot of those epic, I think it was Monday nights, might have been Sunday nights, mm-hmm. and Radio 4 would always do a sort of 2-hour full-length radio play. And we used to do some fabulous, it's the great thing about radio, you can just sort of, we did plays set in the Crusades. I played medieval troubadours. And it's so great because you don't have to sing. They just play someone else's voice when it came to the singing bit. And I didn't have to do silly miming or anything because the audience just hear the voice. And I used to absolutely adore doing those.
Do you feel more comfortable doing radio work as opposed to visual? You know, where's your comfort zone as an actor?
Well, we've had this conversation before, and my comfort zone. Oh, well, I absolutely adore radio, and it probably is the most comfortable place because it is quite joyful to do radio. I don't know why. I think it's possibly because it's not that it's not stressful. You still have to, when the green light goes on, you've got to be on the ball and you've got to get it right. And time is usually very short. So there is a certain amount of stress involved, but the fact that you don't have to learn the lines, particularly with the Archers, where you're with chums, you know, you get together and you're meeting up with your pals. It's just a great pleasure to do it. And the conversation we had before, I remember, you know, my heart is in theatre, and I've done a huge amount of theatre since I started, and I still do whenever I possibly can. Because that is stressful, but it's also what it's all about. That is, for me, that's why I became an actor, and it still is why I want to carry on.
Now, Michael, you said something kind of interesting. You said that when you go and work on radio, you feel like you're, you know, with your chums, with your pals. Is that honest?
You're going to say, are there any people you don't get on with?
Far be it from me to so telegraph my thinking, sir. But well done. Well done.
You are? No. You are?
No. And if there were, you're not going to say. Yeah. Right. But is it really true that you are like a band of brothers, you know, people on who are doing the Archers? Do you feel there's a special click, a special bond between you, you know? Because it's only, what, 3-4 days a month which you guys actually go up and meet, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It would be hard to say that's entirely true because we see each other so little. Because you only see the people in the particular episode you're recording, and maybe you cross with the people who've just finished recording and the people arriving to do the next episode, you're only seeing a very tiny number of other cast members every time you go in. But it is a big family, and I mean, it's been lovely actually. We have a WhatsApp group which used to be quite small, but since lockdowns happened, it's expanded massively, and it's been absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's been incredibly supportive. People looking out for one another, people coming up with ideas to keep you busy, people coming up with ideas for things we can do for charity. I might mention, I've just read 1 minute or so of Alice in Wonderland to help raise money for the NHS charities. And something like, I think, 150 voice actors have recorded a minute each of Alice in Wonderland, and it's being released in 5-minute chunks. I'm trying to remember what the website is. I think it's Wonderland Challenge. But I think on Monday that's going to sort of go live and be. And a lot of Archers actors have done that. And that came through the WhatsApp group, actually. One person knew about it, mentioned it on the group, lots of other people got involved. That is absolutely true, and there is a sort of, there's definitely a bond.
And asked Charlotte the same question, right? And this is a little bit, I was going to say indelicate, I don't know if it's really that indelicate, but obviously you're an actor of some vintage, sir. You know, it's you've been on the show for for 20 plus years now. You've done theatre, you've done TV, radio, etc. Technically, who's the most accomplished actor? Who do you actually admire the most? You know, who hits their lines and can, you know, and kind of really take direction from the director the most? Who do you go, you know what, you're doing good work there. Who do you say?
Are you talking about... You're not talking about Archer's cast, are you?
Oh, yeah. There is no other world outside of Ambridge.
Right, okay.
Other than the Marvel superhero.
Well, you say you spoke to Charlotte about this, did you? Because you must remember you've asked me this before, and I think I said Charlotte. there's any number of people I could answer that question to. I think there's just wonderful people in this. And the thing about radio... I used to work a lot with a director at Pebble Mill in the old days, and he once said to me, will you speak to this journalist who's coming in today to he wants to talk to one of the actors about working in radio. And I said, well, what, I haven't a clue what to say. I just do it. And he said, well, the thing about good radio actors is they have to be quick. You have to be able to read something on the page and make it sound like it's not on the page. And if you're not doing it right, you've got to be able to adjust very, very fast because there's no time to mess around. And I think there's some people on the Archers are just wonderful. Charlotte, I think Susan is a work of art. I just absolutely, when I hear it, and you know, she's a professor or something. I mean, I don't know exactly what it is, but she's an incredibly bright, intelligent woman, and she presents Susan. You never question it. I hear it, and I don't think of Charlotte. I think of Susan. I think that's brilliant. Then on top of that, there's all that thing that I think we've also spoken about, which is when you first come into the program and you hear voices in the green room, and these are voices, you know, like everyone else who's been brought up in a Radio 4 family. It's these are voices I've grown up with, and that is still gives me a frisson, you know, 23 years down the line or whatever, sometimes just hearing those voices and being in the same studio.
Are you really aware that you are really part of the whole kind of tapestry of this kind of institution now? Do you feel like you are?
Yes, it's a curious thing, isn't it, being in something like the Archers, because you are, you know, it's very rare. Here I am talking on screen and people seeing, but for the most part, you are invisible. You're not seen. You're heard. And that, I think that's a great thing. I think I talked about this before, but my partner used to be in a TV soap, and extraordinary, the imposition. No, I'm sure lots of people like it, and I'm sure there are lots of people who seek it, but there are also plenty of actors who actually kind of like to have a private life. And during that period, we didn't have a private life, really, because everywhere she went, people were whispering and heads turned. And she found that very uncomfortable. And I must say, I'm very happy with the anonymity of being in the Archers, but also very proud of being in it. And I love the fact that when you say, are you aware of being part of an institution like that, God knows I am, because as soon as it's mentioned in any kind of a setting, there's always someone, if not quite a few people, who are very excited. And I mean, I've had people literally stop breathing and say, it's too much, I can't speak, because which is bizarre, but it's, you realize how much it's a part of people's lives. And you can't, you know, of course I do. Of course I realize that. And of course I realize, you know, it's a fantastic, fantastic thing to be part of.
Well, we need to take a pause, sir.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Because there's two reasons why people turned up on a Friday with the sun blaring outside, you know, blazing outside, and they're indoors. It's because they want to see you and hear you, but also they want to be part of the Dum-de-Dum quiz, right? So we're going to go on to our Dum-de-Dum quiz now. Everybody, you know the drill. It's you've got to get yourself pen and paper, or pencil will do, marker, anything, a bit of chalk if you've got a blackboard, and we're going to play the Dum-de-Dum quiz. Now, first off, it's the pitch around. Now, this is an Archers thing, or person. It's an archer's thing or person. What do you see here? We see a handsome man. We see a creature with wings and a vehicle of some sort. That is an archer's thing or a person. So scribble down your ideas. Michael, feel free to play along, sir.
Yeah.
Ace this, by the way, so no pressure. But she's a doctor. You did say she's proper clever. Second one in the pitch around. What do you see here? Bit of a scene where people are in their Sunday best and, I don't know, some kind of letter business over there, over on the right. What do you see? This is an archer's thing or a person? Question number three. We have... two people with eye patches. What the dickens could that be? This is an archer's thing or an archer's person. When we say thing, could be a breed of cow. It could be a place. Two people with eye patches. This is the last one in our pitch round. Here we go. A couple of royals on the left. And then... I don't know what's going over there on the right. This is an archer's thing or a person. Okay, that's the end of the pitch round. And then we're going to go on to our Alistair Lloyd round. It's our cricket playing bet. So how long ago was this picture taken, Michael?
A good 10 years.
Yeah, well, you're looking good on it.
Well, the very last kind.
10 years have been very kind to you. So obviously the warm embrace of a good partner, security at work, no problems in the family at all, because you could have been taken yesterday. First question. After the Ambridge flood of 2015, what did Alistair do? Number one, shout horse paintings. Number two, become even more boring. Number three, sell a share in his business. So after the flood of 2015, what did Alistair do? Number one, shout horse paintings. Number two, become even more boring. Number three, sell
a share. Clue.
Question number two, folks. After his marriage to Shula broke down, Hunky Al had a night of passion with Lavinia Rafferty. On finding out, Shula said, anyone but Lavinia Rafferty. Why did she say that? Number one, because she owned a rival stables. Number two, she was a client of Shula's. And number three, she was a member of the Hunt. Why did Shula say anyone but Lavinia Rafferty? She owned a rival stables. She was a client of Shula's. And number three, she was a member of the Hunt. Daniel's girlfriend, tried to snog our Alistair. What was her name? Was it number one, Erin? Number two, Chardonnay? Number three, Tabitha?
That's a cheat, because that's an Ambridge Extra question.
It is. It's a deep dive.
It's never been in the Archers.
It's a deep dive, sir.
Yeah.
So, Daniel's girlfriend tried to snog our Alistair. What was her name? Number one, Erin. Number two, Chardonnay. Number three, Tabitha. Alistair mentored who at Gamblers Anonymous? Number one, Ted. Number two, Ryan. Number three, Skaghead Steve. Who did he mentor at Gamblers Anonymous? Was it Ted, Ryan, or Skaghead Steve? And then our last one, look at you here.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I'm lucky because you know how on the screen there's a load of pictures of people who are watching. I'm hidden behind all those because I know this picture. Judy and I have actually refused. Somebody wrote in asking if they could have a copy of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do have love in your eyes, sir. You know, it was going to be the biggest day of your life, and you look happy. So let's ask the question. When did Alistair marry Shula? Was it number one, 1999, we're going to party like it's 1999, or was it number two, 2001, Space Odyssey, or did he marry Shula on a cold day in hell? There you go, folks. That is our pitch around. We are going to come back to that and we'll give you your answers. Mr. Lumsden, you yourself have kind of said this right at the start when you talked about the precariousness of being Alistair and the fact that he got a divorce. But one of the great things for us, the listeners, is this, the triptych, the trifecta. It's you, your dad, and Jazza. I think I know your answer to this, but there wasn't any, you weren't aware that they were setting up this kind of three-legged odd couple, were you? Oh, goodness. Have we lost him again, everyone? If you can hear me, can I just have a wave? Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, you're back. You're back, Michael. Michael Lumsden, can you hear me? Let's mute you, Chris. We can hear you. Yeah. You're looking at me going, oh, you can hear me, Royfield. You're stirring away, sir. Well, until we get Michael back, I suppose I best speak to everybody. Lovely to see you, Dusty. And we also have, Red Agnes and Mandy Belshaw, Andrew Horn, as I live and breathe, over there in, is it Surbiton? Yep, you're nodding. Mia Fox in Newcastle. Hello. Philippa. My new best friend. She's waving. These are only people who I recognise and stuff. So Jane Curzon over in the corner there. Yeah. Hello, Megan, Eliza, Scott. And we've got, oh, hello, Christina. You're in Norway, aren't you? Yep. Yeah, you're waving. Let's see who else we have here. I feel like a proper radio DJ here trying to fill until we get Michael back. Hello, Pat Brown. You really helped us out, Pat, on the test recording that we did. Danielle, hello. Quickly going through this. Hello, Adam, who also helped us out on the live recording. And Audrianne is over in Alameda, which is right next door to me when I'm in Oakland or in Vallejo in California. Now, Michael has just logged back on and I'm going to find him and unmute him. And Michael.
Hi, back.
Hello.
No idea what happened there. I think it's probably that I just wanted to avoid having to answer the first four questions.
I think you need to put another penny in the meter. Well, you've already put another penny in the meter, haven't you? Because you're back.
Yeah.
So well done. Well done. That was it. The dynamic trio. One of the things which the Archers, I would say, hasn't been brilliant at is male relationships in the last, I don't know, let's say 20 years. It's interesting, speaking to Charlotte, a couple of weeks ago. Well, on the show on Dumpty Dum, I made the point of saying that if you listen back to old episodes pre about 1975, a lot of them, I think, are bordering on unlistenable to modern ears. The way that the delivery, the direction, etc. And by the mid 70s, you can listen to all of those old episodes. And it was somebody from the Academic Archers, of which then Charlotte chimed in and said on Twitter that at that point, around about the mid-70s, when the first female writers actually came into the Archers, and there's a real change, and there's a great quote, somebody saying that all of a sudden women were allowed to be menopausal, be postnatally depressed, etc. It was very much, and they weren't just making jam anymore, you know. So it really was noticed that the women were written much better. And I would say that one of the unintended consequences of that was actually male relationships were a little bit kind of 2D. At least they have been in the last 10 years. And it's one of the reasons why the three of you is so lovely to hear. How were you for you, the actor, are you really very conscious that there has been this real change in the, in not just in the amount of lines that you're getting, but also with the resonance? You're not just playing somebody's partner anymore, are you? You're not just Shula's husband, who's the odd occasional grunt. It's a case of you've got a father who went through, has been suffering from a lifetime of the after effects of abuse. And then you have Jazza, who is a man child, fundamentally a lovable man child. We all love Jazza, but that's what he is. So in terms of acting and the portrayal of Alistair, number one, where do you think it might go? And obviously I'm not asking for any definite storylines or anything like that, but also it must be much more joyous to play the guy now.
Oh, absolutely. There's quite a lot of things you've mentioned there.
You know what? It was the wine. I didn't know where I was going with
it. You don't know where you're going. I don't know where I'm going. Again, you're sort of suggesting maybe I know where the storyline's going. I haven't the first idea. All I know is that, as I said before, that it feels now like there are all kinds of directions it could go in. I'm not in any rush for him to find new love, mainly because it's kind of soap death. Mm-hmm. It's just that it tends to limit you in terms of what the character might or might not do and the people the character interacts with. So for me at the moment, having that lovely trio of the three of them sharing the house together is joyous, but there's also, you know, any other number of people he can relate to now without it being in any way a sort of threat to the marriage or that he would have to only relate to them as part of a couple. So that's great. That's lovely. I quite enjoy the fact that I have no idea where it's going. And I genuinely think at the moment the whole thing's up in the air anyway. You know, we know that things are having to be done very differently from whenever it is, about 10 days' time. There's going to be this kind of new style for a period, but none of us know how long that's going to go on. And that completely changes all the dynamics. So, it's, you know, that's one of the great, I think that's a really positive thing about where we are at the moment, actually, that it's a completely open book. It could go anywhere. So I have no idea where it's going to go. As far as I'm concerned, I really like where it's at. I love being in that trio, the tres amigos, or whatever some people call it, That's been joyful to play. John and Ryan are amazing. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people will know Ryan is completely blind and doing scenes, you know, some of those scenes were very, very difficult and sometimes very difficult technically. And how he coped with it all. And of course, he, unlike the rest of us, has to learn it. And there were times when he was having to learn episode after episode after episode, and he always nailed it. It was you know, working with those two was just fantastic, and I just enjoyed it immensely. And I really hope, I know that it's got that, that in general, I know the feedback has been positive about the storyline and about that the relationship between those three. So I just really hope that that gets built on and there's more of that stuff, because it's great, great fun. I think it's quite interesting what you were saying about writers and how women writers came in, you know, started to dominate and that, or started to be more.
Yeah, they had an impact. Yeah.
But I think that there perhaps also was a time, not now, but I think there may have been a time when the program actually had almost all women writers and almost all women producers.
Mm.
And in a funny kind of way, that is wonderful in some ways, but I also think that is that perhaps wasn't always helpful for the male characters. And there was a time, I know, when the program had a reputation that all the men in it, you know, all the men were kind of a bit unexciting. And I don't know. And I felt there was a period, and I'm not talking about now, when, you know, I think the male characters became a little bit stereotyped. And I don't know, am I being controversial? Oh my God.
I think you're.
I don't mean to suggest that the women writers didn't understand men. That's not what I'm saying. But I think maybe more interested in women, and fair enough, you know, that needed rebalancing. I think at the moment it's getting healthier, the balance.
I think so too. And there was that Laurie and Fry sketch, wasn't there, where it's a case of, here's another tired man on the Archers. But let's be honest about it. It was to redress a historical imbalance that the majority of the listeners have always been female. However, it was written from a very male-centric view, and women just made jam for years. You know, there's the odd occasional, you know, unexpected pregnancy, but women made jam for a lot of years. We only have about 50 minutes left, Michael. So yep. I'm going to throw out, I'm going to stop talking, and it's going to be a case of, it's a bit of a free for all now, folks. So I've gone on to gallery view.
This is when I need a drink and I've just run out.
So, if you've got a question for Michael, aka Alistair the Vet, wave now and I will unmute you and you can ask your question. So I am looking through. Adam doesn't want to ask a question. I'm very surprised at you, Adam. Lovely bandana, sir. You quite the look today. Quite the look, sir. Go back. Oh, Danielle, you're up. There you go.
Hello.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi. Thank you both for tonight's wonderful viewing. My question really is, do you feel there's aspects of Alistair, just at this midpoint as we are now, that you would like to, you know, bring forward somehow, just at the point as he is now? As an actor in your role, of course. Yeah, no,
I think that's a fair question, because I do feel that he got slightly submerged in being part of a rather bland couple. Mm-hmm. And I think there's lots of stuff that early on might have been explored that wasn't because of that. And I think in a way, the why I was slightly complaining about the gambling story is that I think at that point, the powers that be wanted to give him something to kind of give him something a bit more interesting. But actually, I think it was a bit sad and actually almost made him less interesting. So now I think that what we've seen of his ability to empathize and his building of his relationship with his dad and with Jazza, and the fact that that has now, that release from the marriage and the way he's interacting with those other two means he's now kind of developed a better sensibility, I think, and the way he handles other people.
Yeah.
Yes, I would love all that to be explored. You know, it's out of our hands. You know, this is the extraordinary thing about this program. You know, I don't know, because of the way things are being recorded at the moment, I don't know when I'm next, you know, going to be in it, let alone what's going to happen to the character. And I won't really know until, you know, one day the script's plopped through the letterbox. But yeah, I definitely feel that lots has been opened up. There's lots of possibilities for him now. And I really hope that they do get explored.
That would be wonderful to see. And I think there's a lot of more exploration in the story.
Good. Well, I do too. I share that with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Danielle. I'm going back onto gallery view. Now, Chris, it says Chris's phone, and you're there.
Hi there.
Hi.
Ask away, Chris. Hi.
Do you think there's any chance that Alistair and Shula will get back together?
I guess my reaction to that is it's the nature of these kind of programs that I think that will always be dangled. I think that will always be a possibility, because if it's not, that's just a storyline. You know, I notice myself that every time she and I have a scene together where we get on well, there's suddenly a load of people on Twitter talking about whether or not they're going to get back together. And presumably for the producers and storyline writers, that's good. I personally would be quite surprised, but that view is no more valid than anybody else who listens to the program. I don't know, but I think they're probably both more useful characters and more interesting characters released from the marriage.
From Alistair's perspective, do you think it's something Alistair would like?
I think that it would have been in the first, probably the first year, 9 months or a year. I don't think it is now. I think he's discovered a new life, and I think actually he would, I think that he would now see it as a backward step. He would see that. I'm saying all this, I can say this, and next week I might get a script through the post where he's desperately wanting to get back together with her. So, you know, we are the tools of the script writers and the storyline creators. And we just have to go with whatever the flow is. And you know, it's not always what we would choose. So that's my personal feeling, is that he wouldn't be feeling that would be a good move.
Quickly jump in. Rosie McGlynn, you were shaking your head, saying, oh my God, no, I don't want him back with Shula. And by the way, that's a wonderful background you have there. So first off, what's that background? And then tell us why you were crossing your fingers when Michael said no, he wouldn't get back with Shula.
Thanks, Royfield. It's the background to sort of the beach view in Portobello in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. So it's looking out to Lomond. So it's up in Scotland. Just a few days ago, we've had some wonderful weather, and I'm very lucky to live here. I think that what we've seen with the Jazzer, Jim and Alistair relationship has been an amazing tripartite, supportive, really awe-inspiring relationship. And it's given many of us a huge amount of joy and some tears along the way. And I think that even though Shula has played her role in being a support to the whole process and being there for Jim, I mean, basically Shula, you know, is going to be off on her attempt to vicarage journey that's probably going to fail because of her massively contradictory and pessimistic personality. But I think that Alistair just is such a wonderful guy. And I think it's lovely to see him just being there for his dad. And I think that Jim, Alistair and Jazzer are an ideal friendship relationship that a lot of us can aspire to. And I just hope that they carry on being there for one another. But also just really quickly, Joy Horville will not be any kind of romantic partner for anyone.
But she will you were about to suggest her.
No, but she and Jim can be there in Madge the Midget saving Kirsty. Someone's got to get in there. And Jim and Joy did try and save the Corvid, whereas Alistair was like, put that bird down. So I would say that there's a bit of a simpatico between Joy and Jim.
Wow. Wow. You mean Joy could be my mother-in-law?
Only in a non, you know, physical type situation, Alistair, Michael.
Rosie, can I just say that was a masterful question. And I like the way that you had, you know, you built the whole thing up. Do you want to do my job? Because,
you know, Royfield, as Rosie was speaking, I was thinking, I'm sort of hoping there isn't going to be a question here, because you've just kind of said all the things I would like to say about that relationship and about Alistair far better than I could. So thank you. That was great. That was very nicely summed up. And I'm just trying to get my head around the fact, sorry, is that actually what is behind you?
So it's a picture of. So
oh, it is a picture. Thank God.
I'm actually not on the beach spiritually.
in a window, maybe.
No, so it's I'll move away. So it's a picture. So I live in Portobello in Edinburgh, and that's a picture of a little boat crew out on the Forth, and the hills behind are the Paps of Lomond. Apparently, it's towards Fife anyway.
I couldn't actually. You were covering the boat. If I'd seen the boat and it wasn't moving, I would have known it was a picture.
I thought the waves would move as well, Michael. But
I'm looking
Friday
at
Friday evening,
and it's not all that clear.
It's a multi-channel experience, Roy. Don't be so mean.
Yeah,
cheeky. Thank you so much. We've got time for
one more question. So if anybody wants to wave, put their hand up. Nick and Neil, I'm looking at you two. You're looking around and you're saying, hey, he's called us up.
Hi,
gentlemen. Where are you at the moment?
We're South Staffordshire Consul, just outside Wolverhampton.
Oh, so just outside the Black Country, Yam Land.
Yeah,
not quite, though. Not quite.
And how long have you been Archers fans?
I was listening when Justin was in the pantomime about 2 years ago.
Okay.
They don't even remember Alistair as the boring old character he used to be.
No. So I described him about 15, 16 years for me.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, dear.
I got him to listen eventually.
I was introduced.
All right. Well, listen, gentlemen, it's lovely to see you. Do you have a question?
So I have probably a more light-hearted question.
Oh, go for it.
And it's probably an old classic, but Alistair accepted, what one character would you love to play in The Archers?
Oh, my God.
Good question.
Could be male or female.
Yeah.
Susan Carter.
Everyone wants to be Susan Carter or Tracy.
Oh. Oh, it's difficult. I can't. It's never crossed my mind, actually. Isn't it funny? It's never something I've thought about. There's characters I love, but it doesn't necessarily mean I would like to play them. I'm happy. Listen, I've spent 23 years trying to get this one right. And I'm still working on it. So, you know, I'm going to stick with that. And I just hope there's going to be enough of Alistair around over the next however many years and interesting stuff to play. And I will carry on trying to kind of do it as well as I can. There's lots of characters I love and I've talked about. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Susan and Tracy are fantastic, but there's just so many great characters. I can't even begin to think about that question. So I'm sticking to my own. I'm sticking to my character.
We'll let you do that.
That's all right. We're loving the new Alistair anyway.
So. Good. Excellent. I'm enjoying him a lot more myself.
Thank you, Nick and Neil. We should go on to our pitch round. I'm going to quickly run through the questions again, and then we'll come up with some answers for everybody. All right, so what do we have here? Handsome man on the left. We have a creature with wings, top right, and then we have a bit of an 80s car, bottom right. So that's Matt Damon, that bird is a craw, and that car is a Ford, Matt Crawford.
Oh, God.
If you got that right, big ups to you. Now,
not Matt.
Well, how many Matts have there been in the Archers?
Yeah, I couldn't remember his surname.
Well, we'll give you half a point there. Right, so we have a scene over on the left. It's a wedding. We all know that's a wedding. There are people there being escorted. They're ushers. And then we have two, not quite stamps, they're Franks. Not one, but two. That's Usher Franks. Now we have two people with eye patches. The singer, Gabrielle, over on the left. And then Nelson, the Admiral, on the right. Nelson Gabriel. Oh, has everybody still got me?
Yep.
Oh, all right. Why can't I move on? All right. Everything is locked up for me. Stop share. Let's get off that. You're with me, Michael?
Yeah, I'm with you. I can hear
you. Let's hope then that everybody else is still with me as well. Right, so what do we have over on the left? We have Prince Harry with his son. And we have Rabbi Burns on the right. Harrison Burns. Harrison Burns. That's what we have there. And we're going to quickly just go through these. After the flood of 2015, what did Alistair do? Number one, shout horse paintings. Number two, become even more boring for a time. Number three, sell a share in his business. He actually did all three. So you couldn't fail there.
Hold on a minute.
But no, you've got exciting now. But I meant directly after the flood of 2015. But why did you say horse paintings, Alistair?
You know what? I have absolutely no recollection of that. No memory of that whatsoever. I thought for a minute you were talking about that time when Shula decided she was going to do life drawing and I couldn't recognize what it was she drew. That's quite recent, isn't it? No, horse paintings?
You said horse paintings out of nowhere. But anyway, we'll
were you drunk at the time you heard this? Were you...
You said something which approximated to the sound of horse paintings. It was all over Twitter at the time. Anyway, moving on, sir. After your marriage to Shula broke down, you had a night of passion with Lavinia Rafferty. On finding out, Shula said anyone but Lavinia Rafferty. Why? Because she was a member of The Hunt, was the next line. Daniel's girlfriend tried to snog you. What was her name? It'd hardly be Chardonnay. And it wasn't Tabitha, it was Erin. Alistair mentored who at Gamblers Anonymous? Can you remember?
Can I?
Yeah.
Ryan.
It absolutely was. It was Ryan, not Skaghead.
I'm doing quite well on these ones. Apart from horse paintings.
Hopeless. Skaghead Steve is a character from Tiny Tim. I recommend anybody, if you want to have a giggle, go to YouTube, type in Tiny Tim. He's a guy, a Mancunian guy, who rings people up to prank calls, pretends to be a three-year-old. He says, I'm three going on six. And then he always talks about his Uncle Barry, who wrestles with his mum. And Uncle Barry is a friend, Skaghead Steve. So Tiny Tim on YouTube is utterly brilliant. Very funny guy. When did Alistair marry Shula? Was it 1999, so we're going to party? Was it 2001, A Space Odyssey? Was it A Cold Day in Hell? Which one was it, Michael?
1999.
It was indeed. And I'm going to get out of there and we're going to go back. There we go. We're back. So I'm going back onto gallery view. Thumbs up if you got all of those right. Oh, gosh. Look at you, miserable lot. Come on, those were easy. Oh, Rose McGlynn. Got it. Dave Harding's pushed out his bottom lip. Anybody else get those right? Was it just Rosie this week who got them all correct? Oh, MS, you got it right. MS, I'm coming to you, sir. You are an Archers fan of some discernment. Do you get out in the evening? Do you have a life?
I do. I podcast them, though. So I can go out in the evening and then listen in the daytime.
Fantastic. Was there anybody else that got all of those correct? It was Rosie and MS at the moment. If you did, let's have a thumbs up. Stop shaking your head there, Danielle, and you, Red Agnes, and Jane Kirsten. Big thumbs down, and a big thumbs down also from Erica. Well, Michael, I think it's time to say Auf Wiedersehen. Oh, we don't have Iris from Germany for us to say Auf Wiedersehen. So we'll just say Tara, basically. I love the new Michael. Michael, are you with us? Please say you're with us, Michael. Michael's gone again. He needs to put another penny in his meter for more tinternet. All right. Well, what a way to end Dumpty Dum Live, everybody. I hope you've been right royally entertained. And next week, I forget who we have. It might be Kerry Davis, the writer. I think it is. Yes. I'm not looking at my notes. And also, you can see the red wine has been totally consumed. I'm a little bit tiddly. The last thing I'm ever going to do is drink a large glass of red whilst doing the show, because I feel a little bit squishy. Anyway, thank you for all being...
Well done, Boyfield.
Thank you for all being part of Dumpty Dum Live. You're going to say thank you to Michael, but let's pretend that he is here. Let's say thank you to Michael. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Michael.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Michael.
Bye. Thank you. Hello, thank Mia. Catherine Rowan Jones.
Hey.
Hello, Catherine Rowan Jones.
Whilst I have you all here, oh, he's back. Michael is back. I'm going to mute you all. And I'm going to go and find him, and we're going to have to say thank you again. So unmute. Michael, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh,
you froze me out.
Trust me, I did nothing of the sort, sir. You really need to speak to your internet service provider and tell them they're doing a terrible job and get a new one.
Oh, right.
Well, we've basically said goodbye, so this is extras now. So I'm going to unmute everybody and they're going to show you their appreciation for you allowing them to spend an hour in your company on a Friday. So you're unmuted all. There you go. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
There you go. And whilst I have all 50 plus of you, and hello, Philippa again, can I beg and implore you, go on to Apple iTunes, write us a review, big up myself and Lucy. We love the Archers as you do, but we're sweating buckets here. We're killing ourselves trying to put out this new content just to help everybody through this corona lockdown. So if you've got any modicum of joy, pleasure, or insight from these extra shows that we're doing, go into Apple iTunes, write us a review. That'd be awesome. See you all again next week, same time, for another rip-roaring edition of Dumpty Dum Does Zoom. Tatty bye.